You're listening to the Camp Nation podcast. Find us online at campnation.ca.
Welcome to the Camp Nation podcast number 13, the one where it's just Joe and Travis sitting in a canoe. Today's episode features our discussion on marketing for your camp. Good day and welcome to Camp Nation 13 for the third week of June 2010. My name's Travis Allison and I'm the social media manager at Our Kids Media. I also was a camp director for 15 years at Glenmore Camp and Cairn in Muskoka, Ontario.
And my name's Joe Richards and I'm the executive director at Pierce Williams Christian Center, located in about half an hour south of London, Ontario, and we are a full-service summer camp and retreat facility.
Thanks, Joe. Well, it's just the two of us today.
It is just the two of us, and I just noted in that intro that my job title changed in the past little while.
Oh, it did?
Yeah, I got promoted to, I asked for it to be changed to executive director because that's what I do anyway, so.
Yeah.
it looks better on grant applications. That's one of the whole reasons, so.
Right. Congratulations.
Oh, thanks.
I'm sure Big Ray's came with that.
No. I did get the bathroom.
But you got free.
I did get the bathroom right in our house. Yeah, exactly. So that's good.
That's good. So it's just the two of us. I heard from both Gab and Dan today that they thought they were going to be able to make it, but they're both involved in training with their staff. So it is Joe and I. And we also invited a couple other people, past guest Jen Selke and Adam Isidore, that did some of the interviews from Tri-State, and it was just such short notice that people weren't able to get going. So here we are. So we'll probably be pretty short today. So we'll start us off today with links. And Joe, I wonder if you could start with yours.
Yeah, I posted a link that I got from Borschke on Twitter to Rob Dryden of Dryan, is that how we pronounce his last name, of Camp Uchigeis made Canada's top 40 under 40 leaders list, which is the Globe and Mail produces, I'm pretty sure, on an annual basis. And so it's an interesting article to read through. It's great to see that someone under 40 in summer camp has been recognized in a list like this in a country of whatever we are, 32 million. So it's a great read as well. He looks like he's done a lot of positive stuff for Uchigeis since he's been on board, so.
Yeah, and Uch is a camp set up for kids with cancer who have had cancer. And most of their staff also have had cancer. Or at least they try to make as many of their staff as they can have had the same experience as their kids. So it's a really cool program. I'm glad they got recognized. Coincidentally, he's married to a friend of mine, a woman that I went to university with. And I met him. I'd never met him, but I met him at a wedding of another mutual friend, so it's nice to see him get recognized for that. That's cool. My link is probably just a way to sneak in a second pick, because it's not really news, but it's something that's useful. This morning, Joe was on a webinar that I did about marketing summer camps and private schools on Facebook, and as part of my research for that, I came across a whole bunch of different things, but one thing was this article called The Definitive Guide to Higher Rankings for Your Blog, and it addresses the issues of SEO, which stands for Search Engine Optimization, and he breaks it down really well. It's one of those things where you think, well, I do the best I can, and then you take a look through the article, and he just breaks down every step and all the different things. He really talks a lot about WordPress, because that's his specialty. But the two blogs for work are WordPress blogs. And also the website that I run for Cairn still is WordPress. So this was great. Like stuff I hadn't thought of, easy ways to do a few things that should make a big difference. Because certainly since I got this job, I've learned a lot more about search engine optimization. It used to be sort of a bad word, search engine optimization, or it became a bad word because people were sort of using tricks to convince Google to rank them higher. But Google is so smart, and they change their algorithm all the time. So Google seems to be quite good at finding those good organic connections for search terms. So it's just one of those things I thought I'd like to spend more time looking into and trying to get our blogs here at work and even the camp website to land a little higher when people search for it.
It's great. I just had a, I just got a chance to look it over. It's not, it's one of those things that I don't focus on search engine optimization as much as I like the fact that, you know, this morning in the webinar and which was on Facebook and Facebook marketing, what I loved was, and what I love about the idea is how localized you can go. Because essentially in conversations with people over a number of years since I've moved here, which I've been here 5 years as of Sunday, the conversations were that this is much more like a day camp than a true residential camp, in the sense that I'm pulling people from a very defined area. That's my niche. And so the area is maybe 100 kilometers wide by, you know, 30 kilometers long, and that's where I'm getting kids from. And so the localization of something like search engine optimization would work for me if I can say, okay, well, if an IP address is in within these areas, then bring it on.
Right. And do you, are you on, what's it, I think it's Google Places now. It used to be Google Local. Is Pierce Williams registered there?
No, I'm not.
Definitely something you should do, because Google's now trending towards local results first. They'll see where you search and then give you the closest results. They'll float to the top. So you want to make sure that your camp is registered on Google Places. I think I'll look it up while we're talking, but you register
That's awesome.
Your business. You register your business so that when people look on Google Maps for camp in your area, it'll show up, etc. And when they search for your camp, the Google Map representation will show up with it. And it's sort of a two-step process, like you register online, and then they either, well, they text message you, which doesn't make any sense because they send a text message to your registered business number. Or they send you a postcard where you have to go online and put in the code that came on your postcard. But every camp should be doing it. Super easy to do, and you just want to make sure that you're registered. So that helps.
Well, and that's a great point, not just with Google Places, but on Google Maps. I know for about a year, people would type in our address, and because we're a retreat facility as well, people would put our address into their GPS and they would get sent to somewhere else, somewhere within like 15 kilometers, but not here.
Right.
And so it happened to a good friend of mine who, based out of Toronto, who deals with online interactive advertising. And he, when the Google, the Canada Google rep was in his office, he said, "Hey, can you fix this?" And a couple of days later, it was fixed. fixed it. They all get here now. So,
awesome.
Yeah, that's great.
So, we weren't too sure what to use for our discussion today. So, you can get our limited two-person perspective. Although, Joe and I don't necessarily agree on all these things. So, it's not like you're only going to get one perspective. So, what we wanted to talk about is, are we marketing our camps correctly? And this was my idea. It's something I've been thinking about a lot, because I've been wondering if, and Joe will talk about his experiences at Pierce Williams, and he seems to be doing it quite well, but I wonder if camps, especially real traditional camps, have been really marketing that they're fun. And I think parents are looking for something else. I think parents are really hoping, and this might be clouded by my working at our kids, where we deal so much with private schools and private school parents. But I think it's bigger than that. I think it's all parents are hoping that their kids get a benefit from camp, and that we really need to be able to articulate benefits. In marketing, people often talk about you want to make sure you're not selling features, but you're selling benefits. So maybe the feature is fun, but the benefit to the kid is whatever. And Joe, you're talking about your marketing statement on the front of your brochure. Can you read that and just talk about that?
Yeah, a few years ago, I attended the International Camping Congress when it was in Quebec City, and had the opportunity to gather a whole bunch of different camp brochures, and so took bits and pieces from different brochures, but ended up with a marketing statement that essentially reads as follows. At Pierce Williams Christian Center Summer Camp, our aim is to provide the best summer camp experience for your child. Pierce Williams strives to do this in a non-competitive, caring way, allowing your child to discover the world around them while promoting success, self-confidence, and self-esteem in a safe, secure, and stimulating environment while living and growing within our Christian community. That's a bit of a run-on sentence, but that's okay. The next paragraph reads, "The emphasis is always on participation, effort, and attitude. We feel that camp is a unique place where every child can be a winner. We provide campers with the opportunity to become part of a family where they can take healthy risks, get rewarded for successes, and develop self-esteem and life skills. Campers will learn about independence, interdependence, tolerance, responsibility, friendship, and loyalty. It is at summer camp that they learn to take risks, learn to resolve conflicts in a natural manner, learn to appreciate and protect our environment, learn to stay healthy, learn to be responsible for their personal belongings, and learn to have fun with unabashed enthusiasm." So fun is actually the fourth last word that we mention in that very long statement.
Right.
But the end goal is that who's going to read this brochure? You know, a camper is going to look at it and see the pictures and see the, you know, the bright colors, but it's the parent is the one who's going to read the brochure. And oftentimes, and for years, you know, what marketing people have said about camp is that what parents want is to know that it's safe,
right,
and that their kids will be well looked after. And I think that that's somewhat what summer camps have been marketing. And if there was a concerted effort from an association standpoint, which there's not, to market together as a group the importance of summer camp, that I'm not sure what message they would share, but they would probably share a safe, fun message. I just think there's so much more we should be telling parents about why kids need to come to camp.
Well, the other thing is, though, there is an association that is marketing camp really well, and the ACA, the American Camps Association, is carrying all of that weight. There's nobody that's doing it better. Thankfully, they're doing a great job. The Why Camp video that they did last summer was amazing. They're really, really onto this idea. I just want to make sure, well, not make sure, I just want camps to think about their marketing, that when they're proposing these things, that they are considering talking about what benefit kids have. And I've just been, my pick later is a marketing book. Marketing stuff I find really fascinating, so I've just been thinking about it a lot. So.
Well, and for years, Travis, and where my marketing knowledge it comes from, so for 5 years I worked at the Taylor Statton Camps, which is a privately owned boys and girls camp, two separate camps, one all boys, one all girls in Algonquin Park in Ontario, and my job title was Director of Public Relations and Personnel. And so half my time was hiring staff, 260 summer staff, and the other half was promoting camp, doing all of it. And that's sort of where I learned a lot about marketing and word-of-mouth marketing and really had time to think about it. And with the concept of thinking about that, was really easy to read and learn tons of information. And so what happened as I was reading and learning about that information was that it caused me to think and rethink about what we were doing. And I'm not convinced that what camps do in general will work. And I'm not convinced that I have it correct yet. And I think that, you know, what I've learned, the basics is that the majority of summer camp marketing is word of mouth. You know, if a kid has a good time at camp and they share that with a friend, or the parent knows that they've had a good time, that parent's going to tell another parent who's going to tell another parent. And that is something that is called building that culture of success at camp. So if you have a really successful camp, then you have a really good word of mouth, and then your marketing sort of moves forward that way. We've all seen camps, and I'm sure that especially with you now where you work, Travis, that spend a lot of money on marketing. And there's the key, they spend a lot of money on advertising, but not marketing.
Right.
And maybe that's where we misunderstand what we're doing.
Right. As I say, marketing stuff fascinates me. So I read marketing books all the time. And I'm getting a couple of really clear messages that apply directly to camps. There's sort of two ways that you can market. As you say, there's advertising. But the other way that you can market way more effectively is educating. So spending the time to teach parents about all these different things. So if you're teaching parents through skits that your staff puts on your videotape, stories that you write and post to your blog, different things, even simple checklists that people could download. If you're doing stuff like teaching parents how to make sure their kids don't miss home and how to set them up for success from the beginning, then what you're doing is providing a real value to people, and that is the best kind of marketing you can have. Way better than buying a billboard or an ad at a movie theater, that sort of thing.
Yeah, and I agree with that statement totally, that the more invaluable you make your knowledge, right, the more you share that knowledge that parents would, you know. And I saw there was a tweet a couple of days ago about, you know, home, how to make sure that your kid doesn't miss home. And that's a great tweet, and I'll link to that on my blog, on my camp page, because I checked where that camp was located, and it was in Texas, so I feel pretty safe linking to it. So I'm not sure if you remember, a few years ago I was out in BC as the keynote speaker for the BC Camping Association.
Yep.
And so the way they have it set up is that as the keynote, you're responsible for 3 1.5 hour talks. And so it's a pretty big commitment. And I said, okay, well, what do you want me to talk about? Having no idea why I was chosen and, and whatnot, how they got my name. And they said, well, they wanted to talk about the past, the present, and the future of camping. And so it gave me a lot of time to think about what we do and to take years of reading marketing stuff and rethinking what we do marketing-wise. And this is a concept, so I want to share a concept with you. And it's great. I hadn't thought that the podcast would be the place this might come out, but this is awesome. This is great. So the past and the present, what we do presently, right, is that we try to get campers to camp. And we do that in any variety of ways. We try to get them here by saying it's fun, by saying it's safe, by saying that your kid's going to learn something, you're going to do this, you're going to do that. And essentially what we're doing is the same thing that camps have been doing for years, right? The experience of summer camp hasn't changed dramatically in the 100 years that it's been around, right? There are different types of camps. There's computer camps, and obviously 100 years ago there weren't computer camps. I get that.
Yep.
But what I'm saying is, you know, a traditional summer camp, a lot of the same things, be it the canoe trip, the campfires, the council ring, all of those things were done, you know, 100 years ago.
Right.
And so here's my analogy with our challenge at camp. I don't think that we only market camp wrong. I think that we are almost stagnant in what we do. So parents now, there are lots of parents who think about camp as a nice place to send their kids, right? You know, it's a nice idea to send your kid to camp.
Yep.
And if they get something out of it, that's awesome. And what I'm striving to find, not just here at Pierce Williams, but in general for camping, is how do we make parents sit up and take notice and say, wow, my kid has to go there. There's not a choice. Like, what experience do you make that the parents say, that's what they stop, right? They stop and think, oh my God, my kid needs to do that. The analogy I used out back then was the analogy of video games. So stay with me here for a little bit. So essentially in the video game console market, you have three major players, so you have Sony, you have Microsoft, and you have Nintendo. And so imagine if there's 100 million gamers in the world. I'm just throwing out numbers. I don't know if they're true or not. And you're a marketer at Microsoft or at Sony. And essentially what you're saying is, wow, I want to get the biggest market share of those 100 million. You know, and they say, okay, well, how can we do that? And they're like, okay, well, what do they want? What do gamers want? Oh, gamers want graphics. That's what they want. They want high-end graphics. They want to be able to – high def. They want to be able to play and feel like they're in. They're like, great, so we'll put out machines that are high def. That's awesome. On the other side of that, imagine that boardroom somewhere in Japan where the guy stands up and he's thinking to himself, you know, there's 100 million gamers in the world, but you know there's 6 billion people in the world? And how do we get even a 1% share of that 6 billion?
Right.
And what they come up with is this concept of the Wii,
right?
Which, if you remember back 4 or 5 years ago, whenever the Wii was released, it was literally, you know, this whole fact that it's different There's Wii's in retirement homes. What really set it off to me is the first Christmas we had the Wii, my parents come over, and my dad is a 60-year-old farmer. And there's no way he's picking up a Nintendo or a GameCube game controller. But he bowls with my son for an hour. He bowls with my 5-year-old for an hour on the Wii.
Right.
And loves it. Thinks it's like this amazing thing. Talks about buying his own Wii. And it really changed what gaming was. And so when I relate that back to summer camp, I think to myself, well, what we've done. So at summer camps, people say, oh, we've offered tons of new experiences. You know, we have high ropes, and we have water skiing, and we have this, and we have that. Yeah, but it doesn't change what we are. All you're doing, in my personal view, what you're doing is putting more graphics into the system. You're still, by offering high ropes, you're not getting different kids coming to camp. You're fighting over that same 100 million mark, right? You might be taking them from another competitor, but there's nothing that where a parent's like, oh my God, my kid has to do high ropes. Well, maybe some parents say that, but what I'm saying is that you haven't created something where you're pulling in the rest of these kids. And I know from a marketing perspective, when I was in Toronto with the Taylor Statton camps, there were lots of meetings about how we're not marketing to the immigrant population or to the Asian population or to the, you know, there's this whole group of people who simply aren't sending their kids to camp. Camp has a negative connotations in some places, be it a concentration camp or a refugee camp, right? So what are we marketing? Is it correct? So what I was challenging out in BC is, what is our we moment? And the whole place, Travis, went quiet. You could hear a pin drop. I was like, what is our we moment? And I looked at some of the faces, and they were waiting for me to tell them what the we moment was. And I felt so bad. I was like, I don't know. I don't know what it is. Because if I knew, my camp would be, you know, it might not even be what we call a camp.
Right.
Right, it might be something totally different. That from that talk till now, that's what a lot of my focus has been, is moving towards, okay, well, what experience do we offer kids outside of what we call traditional summer camp?
Mm-hmm.
And if I can market that and just grab a little bit of that in a bottle and put it at our facility, I'm not going to have to worry about the facility. It'll take care of itself. Right, that parents will. I want a program where parents sit up and say that. Does that make sense?
It totally makes sense. It totally does. I love the analogy, and I think you're right. I think having somebody who maybe isn't so emotionally attached to camp come in and say, "Well, what if we did this?" I think we always need to be open to those things, and that's why you and I have talked about this before. I don't remember if we've talked about it on the podcast, but that's why I love to hire people that didn't grow up with me. That's why I love to hire people from other camps or who haven't been at camp, because I want them to come in and say, "Why do you do this?" And maybe not necessarily with the tone, but maybe just ask, "Why do you do this?" So that we have to think, well, are we doing this because it's the right thing to do, or are we doing it because it's a habit? So I love that idea of someone giving a new perspective on it and maybe opening up something you've never even thought of.
Well, and what we've gone through here in the past year, we used some grant money for a site audit to let us know where we are. And part of that was this visioning. And sitting across the table from the architect who was doing the visioning, who was not a camp guy in the sense that he grew up at camp and was involved, but he wasn't emotionally attached to our camp.
Mm-hmm.
And so he offered forward ideas where I had to suspend any sort of attachment.
Right.
Right. At that moment. And, yeah. Yeah. And I found myself being open, you know, trying to be more open to say, yeah, that could work. Or I don't know. One of the things, so you've visited Pierce before, and one of the buildings that people look to when they think of Pierce is the longhouse. It's just a beautiful, it's an old RMEH up, but the inside's a beautiful wood floor with flagstone, and And stained glass windows to the side. And when lots of people think of camp, that's what they think of is the longhouse. And so sitting in a meeting one day with the architects, a couple of them, and some trace paper, and we're drawing stuff, and they're like, oh, yeah, in this building, and he draws a circle around it and puts an X through it, and he's like, this will change, and it'll become dorms in the 10-year plan.
Right.
And at my first gut reaction, even only having been here 5 years, was, that's not going to fly.
That's not going to happen.
But it's no. In the end, I was like, okay, maybe that can happen, because there are other things that built onto it. There's a reason it became accessible dorms for people with disabilities.
Right.
That's an easier sell. Take the things out of the longhouse that you need and move them. But it's this concept of being attached to what we do, and maybe that's a great way to look at the way we market summer camp now and the way we run summer camp now. Is so much of it. And there are people out there, and I'm sure we'll get people who respond to say that, well, the reason we do things the way we do is because it works.
Right.
You know, so why change it if it works? There's a song that I discovered in the late 80s, and I don't even know the band's name, but the line that I remember is, just because it keeps on working, that doesn't make it right.
Right.
And it's one of those things where there are lots of camps now, especially denominational camps, camps with a religious affiliation, who are either going to change or die.
Yes.
It's much the same within a church context, right? You mm-hmm. either change or die. And mm-hmm. there are lots of churches who are choosing the latter. They're choosing to die. And so be it. And when you can imagine when this architect shows up at our place and says, you know, you can keep going the way you're going,
yeah.
but eventually you're going to die.
Right.
And he says, you can either let it go or let's rethink the whole thing.
Right.
And I think in those visioning meetings, this concept of what is our we moment, right? Like, what are we going to do that's going to change dramatically the way people perceive what we are? And someone said, well, are you going to change camp? And I said, well, I'm not sure. And as I said, I'm not sure we're even going to call it camp.
Right.
We'll probably still run a traditional summer camp because there are parents. I talked to one yesterday who said, I'm so glad you guys exist. It's really hard to find a basic summer camp anymore. I was like, that's great.
Yep. Well, that was the thing that your wee moment brought up to me, Joe, is maybe the only solution isn't just someone from the outside giving us a radical kick in the arse. And I wholly believe in those arse kickings. Not only that, but I think people who have such an emotional attachment to camp and to our own experiences having grown up there and felt how camp changed our lives, sometimes it's hard for us to articulate other than you got to come to camp because it's so great. And so I challenge the camps, and I'd love to hear camps who have done like Joe and come up with a marketing statement. I've been just thinking about ways to market camp in one sentence, to boil it down to its bare essence. And Joe, I don't know, I know you like the TED conference, but did you see a video by a guy named Simon Sinek who talked about leadership? And his examples were Apple, Martin Luther King, and the Wright brothers.
No, I didn't see that.
Simon, S-I-N-E-K, S-I-N-E-K, yeah, that's right. And it was from one of the TEDx conferences, I think. And it was just an earth-shattering video because he talked about people don't follow what you do, they follow why you do it. And that was his big, I mean, that was his whole thing. People don't follow what you do, they follow why you do it. And people are so passionate about Apple computers, not because of what they do, because what they do is what other computer companies do. They make computers. But they follow why they do it. Apple's grounding purpose, the why they do it, is they want to make beautiful things that are easy to use. So in marketing, he used a couple of marketing examples. He talked about how people talk about, it's sort of in order, what we do, how we do it, and then maybe we get to the why we do it. And in marketing, we should flip that around. We should understand our why and talk about what we believe. And all of our statements should be, you know, we believe this. We believe in camp because of this. We believe that camp changes lives, etc. And then maybe talk about how we, you know, make camp change lives, and then talk about, you know, we keep your kids safe and have lifeguards when they swim. But it was just, the video was awesome. I loved it. And it's such a good point when you talk about what you believe in, and that people will have an emotional attachment to what you do because they're like, yes, I believe in that too. Like, I believe that kids shouldn't sit on the couch at home and play video games all summer. I think that they should have an experience where they get away from those things. So his big thing is, don't talk about what you do, talk about why you do it. And great video. I took a lot away from that video.
Well, and it's an excellent point, Travis, to get into the fact that at camp, we're encouraged every year to revisit our mission statement. And that's a United Church Camping Standard. And this year, I challenged my board to change it, because my whole belief is that you should be able to share your mission statement, and without much thought, you should be able to remember my mission statement. That's right. My belief, right? I'm not going to have you memorize it. And so in the end, we got our mission statement to three words, and it's what we believe, right?
Right.
Welcome, teach, serve. You know, to welcome all who come, to teach all who wish to learn, and to serve God in all we do. It's a very simple statement, but it's easy enough for anyone to remember.
Yes.
You know, welcome, teach, serve. They'll get it in the wrong order. That happens a lot, but I could care less. It all flows together. And this goes to the, right, when you read marketing stuff, the elevator pitch, that you should be able to share what you do in one line. So the concept, camp changes lives. That's a great statement. We as camp people should use that more, because then it might make people stop and say, well, how? How does camp change lives? Then you can go into your stories. But it's, you know, a lot of times what we do to market our camps is, I'm not sure. I'm just not sure what we do really shows what we believe. And that's what you're saying. And I think it's very, very important for us to get on board with that.
Right. And, I mean, it's important to get on board as leaders, and it's important to get your people to be able to answer that too. Your staff needs to be able to answer why you do what you do. So if we're in business to change lives, then people ask you as a camp director just in a party, whatever, what do you do? Then it'd be great to have some sort of catchy, attention-grabbing statement of that. Like, I run a business where... whatever. Kids come to me and they're different when they leave. Where,
well, just think
I
about
run
this.
A business that changes the direction of people's lives, if that sort of
thing. I change lives.
Right.
Like, wouldn't you ask if you were at a party and someone, what do you do? I work at a summer camp. Well, no, what do you do? Well, I change lives.
Yeah.
You know, and it's this thing, and the more... Have you ever realized that sometimes when you're a camp director, you have an interesting job to other people?
Yes.
Because, so I'm at soccer the other night, my son's game, and I'm sitting next to a parent who I've casually chatted with for probably 3 years. My kids are in school with his kids. I don't know what he does. I know where he lives, and I said to him... And the funny thing is, don't even know his name. That's the other weird part to this. I said, "Hey, what do you do?" He says, "Oh, I'm." And he was really hesitant to tell me what he did. And in the end, what he does is he drives. He's a courier.
Yeah.
He delivers packages for a courier company, and. But he didn't think it was interesting enough to talk about. So then when I started asking him questions, okay, well, hey, do you drive the same route every day? Because to me, I'm just like, oh, that's interesting. Let's go into it. But I find a lot of people, when you say you work at, you're a camp director, they're like, oh, and then they can ask questions. And a lot of times, all you need is that one line, you know, I change lives, for a parent even, of a kid or a grandparent to really understand what you try to do at camp. And the important part, and here's the trick, Travis, is if that's what I believe as an executive director, how do I make sure that that is what my CIT is sharing with the parents when they're talking to parents?
Right.
You know, and that is true marketing, is that everyone up that chain would be talking about how much they love camp or how camp changed their lives or what camp does, because that's where your word of mouth values are. So.
Yep. That's very cool. Well, I think, Joe, I'm going to wrap up the discussion part because I'd like to keep it shorter since there's only two of us for them to listen to. But I think that there's a lot more to come back to. So for those of you listening at home, we're trying to provide as many ways as possible to for you to get in touch with us. One thing is we have an account on FormSpring. So if you go to formspring.me /campnation, you can ask us any questions you want there. And we'll, as I said on the last session, we'll answer it or we'll find somebody who can. You can email questions to me, travis@ourkids.net. You can send us messages on our Twitter. We're both, Joe and certainly Dan and I are on Twitter all the time. Remains to be seen, I guess, for Joe and Dan how it's going to go this summer. Gab is getting more used to Twitter. But you can reach out just however you like. And I do hope to figure out a way to create a voicemail box. In fact, I have the first voicemail, Joe.
Oh, no way.
Yes, it's from me. It was what I recorded in response to the one I missed at Camp Nation 11 about year-round schooling that I missed. So I'm going to put that in as a question in this one, and then maybe we'll address it again. Or no, we'll talk about it when everybody's back.
That's awesome. Because
it was a question I had about year-round schooling. So if people, all I did to record that was I recorded it on the voice recorder on my phone while I was driving because I was listening to the podcast and emailed it to myself. So you can do the same. You can record it on your computer and email it to me, and then we'll play it for everybody and we'll sort of take turns answering it. So there you go. Our first voicemail.
That's great.
So please, if you have questions or comments about our discussion about marketing, if you have stuff you'd like to add, obviously we're just two guys talking. If we can get your perspective on things, it helps us fill in the discussion. So please leave us a message on Facebook, on the blog, etc. Joe, I want to take us to the picks of the week. What's yours?
My pick of the week is a site that I found called PVCWorkshop.com, and it's free PVC building plans and links. And if you're a camp person like I'm a camp person who tries not to spend as much money as some things cost, I do a lot of building with PVC, be it ladder golf things or be it outdoor screens or marshmallow guns, things of that nature. This site just has free plans, which really make some other things. So they have a plan to make like a standing target, which you could shoot like a paint gun at, or a paintball gun, or a BB gun. I suppose you could shoot bows and arrows at it too. It'd be a little tiny mm-hmm. target that you would then hit, and the arrow would go through. But it's interesting, and he has a whole bunch of links to other sites as well. On other free PVC plans, and I know there's some that always go up on Instructables, but this was a great place. Yep. There is a paid component to it if you want to buy certain plans, but all in all, it was, you know, an interesting little... I have this idea in my head this summer to build a whole obstacle course, a water obstacle course out of PVC, so that you could attach, right, a hose to it, and you would have, like, spray things that people would have to run through and whatnot.
Right.
So, yeah. Yeah.
There is a great game from Carl Ronke that uses PVC that you fill the pipe full of different size screw, like a 4 or 6 inch piece of PVC, and drill it full of holes. Mm-hmm. And then the group has to use water and float a golf ball out of the bottom of it.
Golf ball, tennis ball. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Great one. I love the outdoor foot washer. That is amazing for camp.
Yeah.
Perfect for camp.
It is awesome. They also have on there like how to build a stabilizer for your camera.
Yeah, which I've built.
Yeah, handy to have.
Yeah.
Handy to own. I love the idea. There is somewhere in his site, and I didn't think it was a free plan, but it was a how to build an indoor screen. So at camp, as a rental facility, we've had groups walk away with those screens that you pull out, and that's a bit of a cost to try and replace them. And so I was like, a few hours, some PVC, and a lot easier to do. So,
right. Mm-hmm. Cool. Electrical cord caddy. There's awesome stuff in here. Yeah. A key hideaway. Brilliant.
Time. He had easy things like, a time capsule. So, we're celebrating our 50th year this year, So 50 years, what a great idea. I hadn't thought of it, but it would be great to bury a time capsule and just to take a 4-inch piece of PVC with two end caps and even glue that puppy shut and put it in the ground.
That's awesome. A time capsule would be amazing. I saw the contents of a time capsule that I put stuff in 1985 at Camp Kintail. And they just opened that up last year. They opened up that time capsule, and there was this awesome stuff inside it that I had put in there when I was a senior camper at camp. It was an awesome Camp Kintail memory. So you could do that with your time capsule too.
Sweet.
I love making stuff. You and I both love making stuff by hand, so it's appeals to both of us. My link is a book called The Referral Engine, and it is amazing. I have had to actually stop and put it down because I need to digest what I've read so far about the first third. And it is a book about marketing. I read a lot of books about marketing because, as I've said all day, it's fascinating stuff to me. And I really like the idea of the new marketing that's social and open and engaging. And this book is brilliant. It's by the same guy that wrote the book called Duct Tape Marketing. And he's pretty famous because he really focuses on small businesses, which I think most of us would fit into, and has a lot of really great hands-on stuff. I just listened to the last podcast this morning, and I said this then. I know a book is good if I have dog-eared the pages and underlined stuff and scribbled notes and ideas. And The Referral Engine, both inside covers are completely full. Pages inside, I can hardly read the printed stuff because of all of the things that I wrote in there. So it's just been one idea after the other. And I think a lot of it applies to camp. You can just get brilliant things. His big premise is, and it fits to what you said earlier, Joe, we're such a word of mouth business. We need to make it easier for our people, our clients, to refer us on to others. And so he has some real hands-on stuff that you can do that would encourage your families to pass on information about you. You can teach them things that people say that would make you think of camp and that you could then offer camp as a, you know, your camp as a choice. So brilliant book. Okay. So that's my pick. Joe, do you have any other thoughts about picks, or should we go to goodbyes?
We can go to goodbyes.
Does it make you sad?
Well, you know, saying goodbye to you. Yeah.
Awesome. Joe, why don't we start with where people can find you online?
People can find me online on Twitter. It's at Yo-Yo, Y-O-Y-O-J-O-E-R, Yo-Yo Joe-R. You can also, I blog at yoyojoe.com. I've also tried to add some things to our piercewilliams.org, or you can get there by going to Camp Is Better. And I've been, I've tried to add some stuff to the Camp Nation blog as well, so that's where you can find me online.
I would certainly appreciate any new followers I can get. I love the communication that goes on Twitter. So if you want to follow me, I'm Twittering professionally at OurKidsNet. That's twitter.com/OurKidsNet. And there's some good stuff going on there today as sort of people giving us feedback for the Facebook marketing session that I did, the webinar that I did this morning. So that's at OurKidsNet. I'm also Twittering personally at twitter.com/Zoic, Z-O-I-C or Z-O-I-C. I blog at ourkids.net/blog and at campnation.ca. So I want to make sure to thank everybody who was involved in the video contest that Camp Nation held on our Facebook page at facebook.com/ourkidsgotocamp. The contest is closed. Sorry that we weren't able to get Joe's video into the contest because of technical difficulties. But we have 10 finalists that have now gone to our judges, which are some Canadian singer-songwriter recording artists that we have some connections to, including Peter Katz, who wrote the camp song that we've talked about before on the podcast. So we should be announcing those about the same time that this podcast goes live. So we thank everybody, all the camps that were involved in putting that stuff up there. Want to also thank Donovan Romanik, our, as we say, long-suffering audio editor from whereitsatproductions.ca. And thanks to Joe for joining me, and thank you to all of you who are listening. We appreciate everyone taking time out of their day to listen to us and to be a part of this discussion. So please, you know, let us know how it's going. If you wanted to go to iTunes and look up Camp Nation and rate us there, that'd be actually really helpful, because the more ratings that we have, the easier it is for people to find us. So tell your camp friends. You're going to run into them some from other camps, I suspect, this summer. Tell them to go to campnation.ca and download the podcast. And thank you. So you can find our show notes. They'll be up when this gets released at campnation.ca.
Thanks for having me, Travis.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks for the evening, friends.
This Camp Nation podcast was brought to you by Our Kids Go to Camp magazine and the camps.ca online summer camp directory. Thanks for listening.